You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Drama zaps energy and steals focus, so let's defeat some drama now. And remember, if you have a current drama challenge and you want some specific strategies to use, go to my website and I will provide you customized solutions. Go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast site tab, and then go to submit your question. From there, you can either record your current drama challenge or shoot me a message. I will provide customized solutions on a future episode. And I know that those who have written me so far have gotten some great outcomes because I hear back from them. It's one of my favorite things. And I've heard from people all around the world. So do take advantage of that if you've got a challenge that's driving you nuts. Let's defeat some drama. All right. So in today's episode, this is the fourth in a series on hiring. And it's called The Four Steps You Must Follow to Avoid the Disastrous Drama-Generating New Hire. So far in the other episodes, I've talked about planning for the interview, sourcing, so making sure that you have plenty of candidates to choose from, sifting, so how to get through the interview process and the phone screening process and all those kinds of things to sift through to those top-notch candidates. And now we're to the final segment, which is choose. So choose well. So hopefully by the time you get to your final choice, you have sifted through lots of candidates and you have it narrowed down to just a handful of really great people. And remember, in the planning for the interview, you identified exactly what you need in that just right candidate, including personality. So there's knowledge, skills, abilities, and personality. Don't forget that personality because that stuff's not going to change. They're wired the way they're wired and they have the behaviors are generally set in stone. So those are the things that you can't train for. So at the choice section, you have sourced for a lot of candidates, you've sifted through a lot of candidates, and you have just those few top notch. So in making sure that you make the right decision, how do you make an objective choice? One, use the totality of information collected. So too often I'll have leaders who want to look at one factor to make or break that hiring decision. You know, they'll say the way they dressed or I don't know, one small thing or the way they answered one question. And really the goal, this is one little window into this person, one indication. So you've got, you know, a resume, which is not tons of information, maybe a phone screen, maybe the activity if they filled it out, if you had them do an activity before you even reviewed the resume. And then, you know, maybe an hour, maybe a half an hour of an interview. And of course, references. I recommend absolutely doing references and poke around social media as well. So, and, you know, depending on the job, background checks, those kinds of things, but do your due diligence. And, but so once you've done all of that, you want to look at everything, you know. So for instance, I'll have a client who does some sort of testing, like there's a Colby test or you can do a Myers-Briggs, and they'll want to look at that score and make or break the decision based on just that one score. Now, while that is one piece of information, it's important information, I don't recommend using any one piece of data unless there's something glaringly obvious about why you shouldn't hire them. Absolutely. I give you license to do that. Like, you know, in one of the earlier episodes, I talked about a candidate who during the interview told me that she was fired from her last job because she threw something in anger at her boss. Well, that's a red flag. That one piece of information is like a huge red flag waving all over. And that is one piece of information that I would say, yes, should make or break. But to just take one test score or one little piece of an interview, it makes it more difficult to, and you might be screening in or out a candidate that's not really the best fit. So I say look at all of the information, okay? And you're going to, while you're looking, and you're going to look back through your notes, hopefully you took some good notes, and then look for contrary evidence. So what I mean by that is you don't want, I'm going to be in a little minute talking about the halo and the horn effect. So this is kind of the same thing. If you have a candidate who you have a specific perception of, either good or bad, look for contrary evidence too, to make sure that you're looking at the breadth of information that you gather during the interview. And I actually do this during the interview. So if someone is coming across as very, very detail oriented to me, I don't want to just lock in and say, oh, they must be 100% detail oriented. I want to be looking for indications of them not being detail oriented. So I'm making sure to get the full picture. Or maybe there's some stuff that was really, really good about the interview and some things that were less than stellar. So I try to take a look at the whole breadth of information and weigh the pros and cons of each section. And you can kind of in your mind weight the importance of the different information you collected. So for instance, if it's in a high volume customer service oriented business, and they have great, there are huge indications that they're a wonderful customer service person, that might get really good weight. If there were indications that they're not great with technology, then you have to weigh that and say, is that a make or break thing? They're not good at technology. Then I would look at the breadth of information and think, well, I did some double checking to see how easily they learn new things. Are they adverse to learning new skills? Or did I see indications of them loving to learn new skills? So if they're not up to speed with technology or know the software that you need, hopefully you did some double checking to say, well, you know what? They don't have the skills, but there were indications that they love to learn new things. So see what I'm saying? It's the breadth of information. You're trying to get a global picture of a person. So you don't want to just look and say, oh, they're awesome at customer service. That's it. Well, if the breadth of information suggested awesome at customer service, terrible at technology, and adverse to learning new things, that's got to get weighted if they need to know technology to do the job well. So while you don't want to just look at one or the other to say yes or no, weight it and look at the breadth of all the information that you took in. Make sure that you're able to articulate the why of your decision. So this is a really important one, and maybe you have a partner that you're working with in your business who you can kind of bounce ideas off of, or maybe a couple of you interviewed the candidates. So make sure that it's not, I mean, interviewing, there is definitely kind of a gut feeling that you get, but you want to be able to articulate the reasons why they're a yes or a no and have good indications. Usually when I'm meeting with a client and one of my, if they've asked me to interview candidates for them, I will give them the pros and cons of candidates, including what it's going to take to manage that person well. So for instance, I might say, you know, this person has great customer service. They're currently not great with their technology, so there'd be a higher learning curve with this person. Or this person wasn't as detail oriented. They're really, really high on technology, not as detail oriented. So ongoing, you'd have to find another way to make sure that someone else is double checking their detailed work. So I'm always looking at the pros and cons, like how they would need to be managed in the context of that organization and the requirements of that job. Because again, you're not, you know, while it would be great to get someone who's the absolute perfect fit for your position, the truth is there's probably going to be some areas where they're not totally up to speed, but then it's taking a look and thinking, what would it take to get them up to speed? Or would it be an ongoing management leadership situation, or where you're constantly accommodating that lack? So, but make sure that you know the pros and the cons and the whys of why you're making the decision that you're making. And then you want to avoid the common pitfalls that create a subjective decision. So this is, I just mentioned the halo and horn effect. So the first thing is first impressions. So first impressions can make you decide that a person is great or not great right when they walk in the door. And you know, we have this innate ability to just, or kind of, it's just wired in us to make first impressions. It's probably part of protecting ourselves, you know, where we're supposed to just think on our feet and think, okay, based on the circumstance and what I'm seeing in front of me, I'm reaching a conclusion. But our conclusions aren't always fact. And so the halo and horn effect is if someone walks in and you immediately think this is an awesome candidate, oh, thank you, they're going to be great. That's the halo effect. If you don't look, I talked about that, look for contrary evidence. evidence. So if you think someone's awesome and you don't look for contrary evidence, you might only look for information that supports this is an awesome candidate. And you overlook, well, that's not that big a deal if they don't have that. So you want to make sure you're looking for the contrary evidence throughout the whole interview so that you're getting a good global look. Same thing with the horn effect. Maybe someone walks in and you think, oh, you know, the way they're carrying themselves or the way they're dressed, this is not a good candidate. Or maybe the way they greet you or their handshake isn't as firm as you would like. It could be just a couple little impressions that make you think no. So again, if your immediate reaction is this is a no, then you need to spend the first part of that interview looking, well, the whole interview looking for contrary evidence to support, you know what, this is a good candidate, to make sure that you're not only seeking to support your initial impression. Make sense? Now, if your first impression is a no, and then the initial evidence supports no, even though you're looking for the contrary evidence, I do give you license to cut that interview short. But just make sure you're not cutting it too short. Make sure you're looking for that contrary evidence first. All right, the next thing is stereotyping. So this is just based on race or religion or, you know, someone's blonde or they have dark hair or the color of their eyes, whatever it might be for you, the way they're dressed gives you that initial impression. And again, sometimes our stereotypes, I mean, they're not fact-based, and you don't want to make your hiring decisions based on just stereotypes, an assumption that you're making about a person because of the snap judgment you made based on race, religion, hair color, curly hair, straight hair, whatever it is that gave you that first impression. So again, look for contrary evidence. Make sure you're really listening to what they're saying, giving them the opportunity to be successful through the interview, helping them feel comfortable, and looking at the breadth of all the information you're taking in through the questions you're asking. The next one that can create a subjective decision is contrast effect. So this is maybe you just interviewed the best person you've ever interviewed in your life. Well, that next person who comes in isn't going to look all that great in comparison. So it's the contrast effect. Maybe you have three open positions and you're comparing everyone to that top-notch candidate that you spoke to first. No one's going to hold a candle to them. So you, again, want to make sure you're looking at each individual person rather than making those comparisons. Same thing, you might have a person who's a terrible interview. The next person comes in and that candidate seems awesome, even though maybe they're just mediocre. So if you're not aware of the fact that you're just making comparisons between candidates to make your decision, this can create a snafu in the choice that you make for your hire. So do watch that. And then the last one is focusing on the small picture. And I kind of already talked about this, but this is taking one little piece of information and making your whole hiring decision based on that. You know, so one little thing that they said or one little grammar issue during the meeting or the way they shook your hand, you know, if you only hire someone who has a firm handshake, you might be missing out on great candidates. So you don't want to just focus on one small thing. You want to focus on the breadth of everything that happens during that interview. So these are all strategies to help you focus on the facts of the interview to make that right choice. So to recap quickly, you first plan your interview. And on the show notes, I'm going to have links to all these other episodes. So you go to defeatthedrama.com, podcast site tab, and then the show notes for episode 53. So in the first in the series, I talked about planning for the interview, where you identify specifically what you need in that candidate, the knowledge, skills, abilities, experience, education, personality, and behaviors. All right, the next one is sourcing. So how to get a nice pool of candidates, where to go for some inexpensive or free places to find candidates. Sifting, the best way to efficiently and effectively sift through mounds of resumes, and then choose. How do you make that final choice once you've sifted and narrowed it down to the top few candidates? And it's making sure that you're making an objective decision and using the totality of all the information that you've collected and not just a little piece. And the key really to all those subjective decision makers is looking for contrary evidence. Don't work from any first impressions or comparisons with other candidates. Look at the breadth of all the information that you take in and don't settle. Find that person who's got, again, they're probably not going to have all. That would be ideal if they have everything you're looking for. But if they don't have everything, definitely everything plus anything that's manageable that they don't have. So that would be easy to train, easy to work around, easy to lead through. So that is it. That's the end of our 4 steps you must follow to avoid the disastrous drama generating new hire. So until next time, make it a great day. And don't forget to submit your own drama challenges. And if you're struggling with anything, contact me. Let's see how I can help through either one-on-one coaching, some workshops. I've got webinars. So let's see how I can help defeat some drama in your organization. All right, make it a great day.